All right, Proverbs chapter 23 this evening, Proverbs 23, verse 19. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about this in Sunday school. Three commands to godliness, and it's been a challenge for me, and I thought perhaps it would be for you as well. Three commands to godliness found in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19 is where we'll read, and just this one verse. And the premise tonight is if you're going to be godly, you must hear what God says, believe what God says, and do what God says. Huh? That sounds pretty basic. And it is. It's very basic. And there's more things to godliness we can talk about, no doubt, but these are definitely essential. And before I read this verse, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be godly? And I asked the youth group, everybody, yeah, I want to be godly. And I hope all of us would say we want to be godly. But what do you really want? And for me, I have to stop and think. I know the right answers, but what do I really want? What gives me pleasure? What am I seeking for? And we have to take time for introspection to know what I really want. Proverbs 4, verse 26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." So it's biblical for us to stop and think, where have I been? What have I been doing? What is my goal? What are my goals in life? Is it really to be godly? What do I really want? And so I have to be honest with what I want, not just what I know I should want, but be honest. What do you want? Challenge your motives. Test your motives. And the Bible teaches us to reprove incorrect desires and establish the correct desires in our life. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." It says we need to call them out. The word reprove here, according to Freiberg, a writer of a Greek lexicon, says, "Generally," this word reprove, "generally as showing someone that he has done something wrong and summoning him to repent, bring him to repent. It also means to bring to light, to expose, convince, convict. And so we are to reprove, correct, some other synonyms here. Reprove them. So sometimes I analyze myself and I don't have the right motives or the heart that I should have. And the Bible says you need to call that out and call it what it is. It's wrong. And the Bible teaches us to seek the Lord and His Word for the correct desires of heart. Isaiah 55:6 tells us, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Proverbs 16:3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." These principles teach us that as we seek the Lord, he will be found. If we delight in the Lord, he's going to give us the desires of our hearts. If we commit our works unto the Lord, our thoughts are going to be established. He is going to fix our wanter. If we seek him for the correct desires of heart. So the first question, and this is all introduction, do you want to be godly? And we need to really think about that. Do I really want that? Is that what I want? Second question is, are you willing to do what it takes to be godly? That's the next question you have to think logically. Am I really ready to be want to be godly? Do you have the desire, first, and secondly, what's the strength of that desire? What's the quality of that desire? To be godly, you have to give up selfish enjoyment, right? Perhaps it's, are you ready to give up entertainment that's not pleasing to the Lord? Friends, activities. Give up selfish ambitions, goals, the desire to be somebody. Are you willing to extend yourself for God's purposes? Hey, that means taking time for God's things. That means investing in God's work. Are you willing to suppress your own desires? You don't do what you want to do, you do what God wants to do. Are you ready to experience pain and fatigue? Struggling, you know, the struggle of dying to self. Are you willing to do that? There's some pain to that because of your flesh. The fatigue of pursuing God. It's like, hey, you know, it gets tiring to try and do what's right all the time and seek the Lord with your whole heart and are you ready to do that? Are you willing to do what it takes to be godly? You know, you have to have fear and you have to have faith to do it, right? fear of the Lord, faith in God's power to sustain you. It's like, oh, boy, this is hard. But also faith in the benefits or the blessings of being godly. So, two questions before we start. Do you want to be godly, and are you willing to do what it takes to be godly? Well, here in this passage, verse 19, there's three commands here. And let me read it. It says in verse 19 of chapter 23, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." The words here, hear, here are some of the synonyms. Listen, or listen with the intent to agree. To heed, to obey, to understand, to try, or to examine. Hear. Try to examine like a judge hears a case. Those are some of the ways that word is used. He says, hear, listen, listen. And it says, my son, and the word son could literally mean son, but also could mean child. It doesn't have to be a male son, but it could be a daughter. It just means child. Hear thou, my son. Hear. What does he want us to hear? You know, God has communicated to us, has he not? He has. Have not I written unto thee counsels, he says later, or before, actually. God has communicated to us, and each one of us has to decide that we're going to hear what God says, right? Right, yes, you have to decide to do it. You know, the devil will keep you distracted from hearing. You can be distracted by things not wrong in themselves, right? Of course you can. Hey, is it wrong to mow the lawn? No. Is it wrong to fix your car? No. Is it wrong to go shopping? No. Is it wrong to go to the lake? No. Is it wrong to whatever? Have fun with your family? Is it wrong to go to work? No, no, no. But when we don't take time to hear the word of God, something's wrong. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with this activity. Yeah, but is it keeping you from hearing the word of God? And when I mean hear, I mean obviously it's not just, well, pastor's not preaching every day of the week. No, but we have God's word, and are you listening to his word? I've heard somebody say once, when you open your Bible, God opens his mouth. And I think that's pretty a good saying. Are you hearing what God says? Do you know what he says? The way to success and prosperity, Joshua 1:8 tells us that we should meditate in his word day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success, the only time it's mentioned in the Bible, and the only way you can have it is by hearing the word of God, first of all. Meditating on it and doing it, it says. Hearing the word of God. There is no success apart from the word of God. Psalm 1. How are you going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? How are you going to prosper in all your ways? It's only by hearing the word of God and meditating on it and doing it as well. But the first step is to hear it. You know, I feel like, boy, I wish I was successful. You try hard to be good at something and you feel like, I wish I was successful. Well, the key is the word of God. God says success comes from God's word. Now, we need to know God's word. It's life. It's health, Proverbs 4:22 tells us. It's blessing. It's part of the way we please God, by knowing God's word. Now, that's not everything, just knowing it, but that's part of it. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. We could read verses after verses about this. The first command is, hear thou, my son. And we're going to talk about, you know, believing God's word and doing God's word. What do you think, out of these three, what do you think is the most attacked? We could argue any one of these. We hear God's word, but we don't do anything with it. We don't really believe it, and that's the problem. Or we hear God's word and we believe it, but we don't really believe it because we don't really do anything with it. We just read our Bible and do our thing. And perhaps any one of these could be a problem, but I think by far the biggest problem we have, the biggest problem I have, is the first step, is hearing the word of God. I don't know the Bible like I should. I've realized, wait a minute, you know, I feel pretty confident. Oh, I study the Bible, I know the Bible, and I don't know it like I should know it. I should know this book very, very well compared to what I do know. Obviously, I'm not going to know everything on it, but But I don't know hardly any of it compared to what I should know. I've been saved a while. I've gone to Bible school. Whatever it is. We should know God's word. And it's because we don't spend time in it, we don't. Well, the second command here, he says, "Hear thou my son," it says, "and be wise." The word "be wise" means to be wise, become wise, or act wisely. So how can one become wise? Well, we know the Bible teaches us it's only by the fear of the Lord. Why would you listen to God if you don't fear him, right? You have to fear him to have wisdom. That's the first step. You can only become wise if you hate evil. That's true. Wisdom is antithetical to ungodliness, right? You can't be evil and godly at the same time. It's the opposite. You can only be wise by accepting truth, because truth is the basis of wisdom, right? It is. And this principle builds upon the last principle. You cannot be wise without hearing God's word. You can't. In order to be wise, you must hear and then believe or accept God's word. That's how you become wise. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17 says. You got to hear, then comes faith. Faith by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can have knowledge, but knowledge makes us proud. We need more than knowledge. We need God's wisdom to know how to apply this knowledge. Knowledge is what you know, and perhaps generally speaking, we could say wisdom is what you do with that knowledge, right? It's God's application of that knowledge. And so he says, you need to hear the word of God. And he says, be wise. The only way to be wise is if you take it and you believe it. You believe God's word and you apply it to your life. And the last command here, he says, and guide thine heart in the way. The word guide means to step or to lead. And in the way, he's probably talking about the manner or custom. Or it, even metaphorically, God's way of behavior, God's activity, behavior demanded by God. Guide your heart in God's way. I think we understand that from the passage. And it says, guide your heart. The word heart can mean a lot of different things. It can mean your organ, and it can mean your mind, and many different things. But I think it's talking about the inner self, your feelings, your impulses, your mind, your character, your disposition, inclination, loyalty, concern, those kind of things, I believe, is what he's talking about here. And he says you need to guide your heart in the way. Guide is an action word, right? Lead, from the root idea of step. We talked about that in Sunday school. It's impossible to step without moving, right? Right. You have to move to take a step. There's action involved there. Action. And we need to take action with what we believe. And James tells us if we truly have faith, we will. It's like a chain. It's connected. But if you will become what God has intended you to be, which is godly, your heart must be guided, he says. We know that with children, you leave a child to itself, it's not going to turn out very good, is it? Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And, you know, I know we are much more mature than a child left to himself, but the same is true of human nature. If you don't guide yourself or allow God to guide you, you're not going to be what you ought to be. And we need to guide our heart, he says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. You know, there is a popular saying in the world and among Christian culture, you know, the live, laugh, love signs and the follow your heart signs. Isn't that great? It's so, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But people like it, especially down south. They're kind of into that kind of stuff. But that is heresy. Don't follow your heart. That's ungodly. That's wicked. We should not have that in our house. The Bible says don't follow your heart. It says guide your heart. Guide your heart. And Psalm 86:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Again, the psalmist has that the attitude that he wants to be guided. Lord, teach me your way, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name, he says. So where does this responsibility, who does it fall on? No doubt parents have responsibility to guide their children. Pastors have responsibility to guide the flock. Teachers and older folks have the responsibility to younger folks. That is true. But what does this passage say? Whose responsibility is it? It says, guide thine heart in the way. The responsibility of guiding your heart falls on you. It's like, well, you know, pastor's leading us, so I just get what I get, and that's what I do. Well, the responsibility is yours. You've got to take up that responsibility. Have you taken hold of your responsibility to guide your heart? The Bible teaches us that we should be examples of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith in purity. Titus tells us, let no man despise thee. 1 Corinthians says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. We need to take up this responsibility, it says. Again, this principle builds upon the last two principles. You can't guide your heart in God's ways if you don't have faith in what God says, right? No. You can't have faith in what God says if you do not hear what God says. Do you see how hearing God's word is the gateway? It's not everything, but it's the gateway. If you don't hear it, you're not going to believe it. You know, I could say I work for a man named Corey Place in construction. And I say, I'm going to do everything my boss tells me to do. And I just walk around like this. And I'm going to, boss, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. But if he's around, I'm going to hide and I don't want to hear what he says. And so I can still say, I'm going to do everything he wants me to do. But I don't try and listen to what he wants. I can't do what he wants. Sometimes we have that attitude, or let me just say, I have that attitude. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But I never open the Word of God and never search it out to know what He thinks and know what He wants. How can I do what He says if I don't know what He says? So important. I think that's the most attacked thing. Hey, why don't we go and fellowship somewhere? And oh, that's great. I've got to go mow the lawn. I've got to go to the store. I've got to go do this task. And that's fine. We have responsibilities. But these things distract us from hearing the Word of God. And we need to take that time. Well, yeah, it's good to take it in the morning, but we need to study it and know it. Know what God says. Believe what God says. And then do what He says. Guide our hearts in the way. So let me go back to our introduction. Do you want to be godly? What do you really want? What do you really want? We have to take the time for introspection. Don't just think about it now. We got to think about it later. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all thy ways be established. Challenge your motives. Is that really what I want to please God? Or I just want people to think well of me and say, oh, he's a spiritual person. Is that really well? Am I just trying to look good in the eyes of other people? Or what do I really want? Test the motives. Reprove incorrect desires and establish the correct ones. Seek God in His Word for correct desires of heart. Do you want to be godly? Are you willing to do what it takes to be godly? Give up the selfish enjoyments, giving up selfish ambitions, extending yourself for God's purposes, suppressing your own desires, experiencing pain and fatigue, perhaps, even for this quest of being godly. You must have fear and you must have faith. Fear of the Lord. So that you depart from evil, so that you believe what He says. Faith in God's power to sustain you. Faith in His benefits or the blessings of being godly. There is a blessing for those who are godly, the Bible teaches. So if you will be godly, you must hear what God says, you must believe what God says, and you must do what God says. Pretty simple. Christian life is simple. Not easy necessarily, but it's simple. God help us to adhere to it. Lord, we do thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, we would take the time we need to study your word and to do it. We thank you for your goodness. Bless the singing time now as we sing for your honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.